What if kittens played the glockenspiel?
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a listener named Eli.
Hello, my name is Eli. I really love my three sisters, Terry, Lily, and Emma. And my What If question is, what if Alabaster Zero broke free of, learned that Mr. Eric was controlling everyone in What If World and broke free from his spell and tried to free everybody else?
Wow, Eli, thank you. That is an epic question. And thanks to your sisters, Carrie, Lily, and Emma, just for being some of your favorite people. Now, we also have a write-in question from Zion, who likes lions and was 6 years old at the time of asking, and wrote, what if there was a stampede in a castle? Thank you, we haven't had a castle story in a long while. And then we're gonna add one last Spotify question from Amanda. We have lots of families who write to us on Spotify, and Amanda has sent in many, many, many questions, so I'm glad we get to answer one today. Amanda writes, hi, Mr. Eric. My what if question is, what if everyone became stuffed animals and Alabaster Zero tried to solve the mystery while eating pizza? Thank you, I love your show. Oh my goodness, we have so much to work with today. But first, I, Fred the Dog, have a shout out for Alula, age 11, from England, who likes cats and me, Fred the Dog, and got a blue Fred the Dog t-shirt on their birthday. Cool, Alula. I hope you enjoy your shirt, and thanks for all your great questions over the years, too. But now, let's find out, what if Alabaster Zero learned that Mr. Eric was controlling everyone in What If World and broke free from his spell and tried to free everybody else? Oh, that's gonna be a rough one. Plus, what if there was a stampede in a castle? And what if everyone became stuffed animals and Alabaster Zero tried to solve the mystery while eating a pizza? Your story starts after a quick break. It was summertime, so Alabaster Zero, one of What If World's greatest detectives, left his apartment building a little early just to beat the heat.
You know what they say, Mr. Eric,
said Alabaster Zero, who will apparently be addressing the narrator today.
The early bird catches the squirmy wiggly mystery worm.
Is that a saying?
All it takes for a saying to become a saying is for a couple people to keep saying it.
Now that sounds like a saying.
Mr. Eric?
Said Alabaster Zero, looking up at his apartment building.
Are you seeing this?
And as he continued to stare, the place he called home slowly twisted and darkened and turned and spiraled and grew into a tremendous castle with long towers poking up at every corner. Granite gargoyles stood at the edge of slanted roofs and hung over balconies, their snarling faces frozen in stone.
Oh, come on, Mr. Eric. It's August, isn't it a little early for such a spooky story?
Well, who knows when everyone's listening.
I knew I wanted to catch an early mystery today, but I was still hoping to get breakfast first.
So instead of investigating the big spooky castle that stood where his apartment building had once been, Alabaster Zero went across the street to the pizza place.
Freddy's Stick and Slice? I don't remember this pizzeria being here.
Don't worry about it.
Alabaster Zero heard Fred the Dog call from inside. The lights were low, and Freddy's voice sounded strange.
Oh, now this must be the mystery.
Yes, please come into Freddy's Stick and Slice. The ominous title of our pizzeria is only because 100 children have been asking for us to make a spooky story where I am an animatronic at a spooky pizzeria.
Alabaster Zero entered the dimly lit pizzeria, which was somehow covered in spider webs, even though it only opened yesterday. And there, atop a one-step stage, was an animatronic, resembling Fred the dog, except its body and extra-long tongue were made of metal.
Hello, Alabaster Zero. How do you know my name, spooky robotic dog? We call ourselves animatronics, and it's our job to both entertain and creep out kids at the same time. Well, I'm not a kid, but mission accomplished. Now, can I get the pizza? What kind of stick would you like on that pizza?
No kinds of sticks, to be honest.
That's fine. Just give the stick to me. Nothing ominous will happen when I chomp down on it.
That kind of makes me think that something ominous definitely will happen when you chomp down on the stick. But maybe that's the mystery. So, sure.
Ding.
Without explanation, a pizza box appeared on the counter of Freddy's Stick and Slice. When Alabaster opened the pizza box, a steamy, fresh cheese pizza was inside, with one long stick across it. It looked to be mostly white, but the bark was peeling in places, as if it had fallen off an ancient birch tree.
Ah, peeling bark? No way. Catch, weird animatronic.
Alabaster Zero tossed the birchwood stick. Freddy's metal tongue reached out to pull it from the air into his mouth, where he gave it a crunchy chomp. And with the crackle of the stick came the crackle of a little old tube TV hung up in the corner of the pizzeria as it flickered on. And there was Papa Lou with a microphone in his hand.
This is a Papa Lou's nose emergency broadcast. It appears every fallen stick across What If World has spontaneously begun turning into a lion.
And as he spoke, the animatronic Fred spat out the white birch stick, which grew into a great white lion.
There is now a stampede of lions headed towards a spooky castle in the middle of town. We advise everyone to stay indoors. Unless, of course, you're in that spooky castle, in which case we advise you to get out! Well, and this message is brought to you by Freddy's Stick and Slice Pizzeria. Stick to the classics, or just stick to the sticks.
Oh dear, a stampede of lions. That cannot be good for business.
Well, you only serve pizza and sticks.
Actually, we only serve stick pizza. Cursed stick pizza. Maybe I should have mentioned that on the menu.
Yeah, well, there's also no menu, so...
So what?
So maybe don't blame the lions when your business goes under. Especially since I think you had something to do with making them.
Of course I did. It was the Chomp of 25 from Elijah's What If question.
What?
And the TV turned back on.
People in What If World are already calling this the Chomp of 25, which was apparently started when an animatronic chomped down on a cursed stick, turning all sticks into lions.
Aw, man. Well, that solves that mystery.
Or does it?
Or does it?
An Alabaster Zero looked out the glass door of Freddy's Stick and Slice to see hundreds of stuffed animals somehow waddling and rolling and bouncing towards the big spooky castle. Except those stuffed animals in the back were being swatted and herded and harried along by
a stampede of lions. Of course! No, wait, it still doesn't make any sense.
The lions appear to be forcing the stuffed animal people into the spooky castle.
A stampede of lions and hundreds of stuffed animal people, when What If World usually only has a few dozen. Now this is a real mystery.
Then you should take the rest of your pizza to go.
Wow. Well, the service here has been 5 stars.
What about everything else?
Oh, 0 stars. You started some sort of lion apocalypse, so
that's fair.
Alabaster waved goodbye to the animatronic and followed at a distance as the last of the stampeding lions headed into the big spooky castle.
Alabaster, is that you?
Cried a floating stuffed animal that looked kind of like Feralise if she'd been turned into a pillow with wings.
My partner, Feralise, roughly one half of What If World's greatest detective duo.
It is I, and don't think I missed that roughly.
I'm so glad you're here. A lot of mysterious stuff has been happening.
Oh, I know. You see, I think it all started with this chump of 25.
Wait, Feralise, I was so excited to see you because I wanted to solve the mystery this time. You were president for 4 years, and I got kind of used to being a solo operation.
Oh.
But no, I want you back as a partner. I just want to show you how much I've grown doing it on my own.
And it was then that Alabaster Zero saw the great white lion sneaking up behind Feralise.
Alabaster.
Feralise.
No, I need to say this.
I'm sure it's really important, but
you want to show me how much you've grown, you could stop interrupting me, for starters.
I knew it's just that look behind—
And accept my help, we're a team.
Of course we are, I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just that there's a—
There's a lion that's been sneaking up on me this entire time. And instead of saying the lion thing first, you just kept mumbling. Maybe we are a little out of sync.
Lion.
And the giant lion, which would someday come to be known as the Birchwood Beast, swatted at Feralise, and the plush stuffy that was Alabaster Zero's partner flapped her fabric wings as her pillowy body flew through the air and into the castle. The Birchwood Beast slowly turned toward Alabaster, who quickly threw half his pizza at it.
Eat this, scary boss lion!
The lion bent to sniff the 4 slices of cheese pizza that had scattered on the ground in front of it, gave 1 slice an experimental lick, and then started gobbling up the rest, while Alabaster Zero ran toward the castle, pizza box stuffed under his arm.
Okay, I know these lion monsters seem to like pizza. Wanted to get all the stuffed animals into the castle for some reason. And it seems like all the What If World characters except me have been turned into stuffed animals.
The white lion heard the door creak as Alabaster opened it, but fortunately, the detective was able to close the heavy wooden doors just before the lion got up, scratching at the door outside.
Lions, stuffed animals, castles, sticks, animatronics, pizza. It doesn't make any sense,
said Alabaster, sliding down the door to sit with his back against it as he ate one of his 4 remaining slices of pizza.
Maybe I just need some brain food. For the record, any food is brain food when you've just been chased by a hungry lion.
Now, Alabaster Zero was having more trouble than usual with this particular mystery because it was answering 4 of your what-if questions. And that's a lot to juggle in one mystery for a detective or a storyteller.
What did you just say, Mr. Eric?
It's a lot to juggle in one mystery.
After that?
For a detective.
And then after that?
Or a storyteller.
That's the problem. You've got me under some kind of storytelling spell. Things don't make sense to me because you're not narrating them making sense to me.
But why wouldn't it make sense? You're roughly one half of What If World's greatest detective duo.
I know! And don't think I missed that roughly.
No, you never miss a thing.
Exactly. And now that I've broken free of your storytelling spell, I'm gonna solve this mystery and get everyone else free of your spell too.
That sounds awesome. Good luck.
No, you're the villain in this story. You're supposed to feel thwarted.
Am I the villain?
Well, this is usually the part of the mystery where I start accusing people of stuff after having gathered very little evidence.
So, are you gonna—
Gather evidence this time? Because you're not the boss of me anymore?
Sure.
Oh, you bet your birchwood I am. Exhibit A, this cheese pizza, which came with extra curse on top.
Interesting.
Exhibit B! The stampede of lions running around inside this castle.
Yeah, don't you think maybe you should, like, hide in a closet or something?
That'd be just like you, to narrate me into a closet while someone else solves the mystery.
Hey, I make suggestions, you make decisions.
Then I decide to ignore you.
But part of the stampede had split off, and was running back toward the front door. The only place for Alabaster Zero to hide in time was the coat room.
That's just another word for closet. No, Mr. Eric, you're gonna shrink me down so I can fit inside this pizza box and hide there. No one will suspect it.
Alabaster, you may think I have unlimited power, but I have to be true to the what-if question, just like you have to be true to the story. I can't just change things on a whim.
Did someone say something recently?
Yes, Abacus P. Grumbler, but that's pretty much always true. Now can you turn me into a tiny person that can hide inside a pizza box or not?
Abracawiny, make this complainer tiny!
I mean, it is a tense situation. No, I'm little now.
Yes, Abacus P. Grumbler was a little wizardy rag doll in the corner and had turned Alabaster Zero Tiny just in time for him to hide inside his pizza box.
Now I've got unlimited brain food. Although, giant pizza is so much chewier than I thought it'd be.
And there Alabaster stayed for a while, gnawing on a giant greasy slice of pizza and wondering how he was gonna get himself out of this mess.
Not what I was wondering. Wondering if there was some grated Parmesan somewhere in this box, you know, in the little containers.
Oh, those containers create more plastic waste.
I know, that's why I save them in the fridge.
Then why not just buy some Parmesan?
Because it comes with the pizza!
The door to the castle started to creak open. The birchwood beast had learned how to pull the latch. Abacus did the only thing he could think of. Flopping down like an inanimate rag doll.
Oh, come on, man, you have so many magical spells.
An Alabaster Zero bravely stood atop the slice of cheese pizza as the beast came over to give it a sniff.
Listen to me, giant cursed monster. You, much like me, are in a podcast. You don't have to be spooky just because Mr. Eric describes you that way. And yes, you could eat this slice of pizza with me on top of it.
Okay.
Wait, let me finish first. Or you could choose to do something else.
Pizza.
Okay, they're about to eat me. This was a mistake. Abacus, can you make me big again?
I'm playing dead over here.
Only because Mr. Eric said so. If you wanted to, you could get up and do a super powerful magic spell right now.
I could,
said Abacus, standing up with his wizardy ragdoll body.
Yes, standing up because I choose to, not because you narrate it, Mr. Eric.
Okay.
Man casting the most powerful spell in my repertoire.
Repetoire?
Repeat-o-wire?
It's just one of those words you always see written down, and then you go to say it out loud and...
It's repertoire. You should probably cast the spell before Alabaster gets eaten.
We don't need your help, Mr. Eric. Okay, but actually, yes, please.
Abracabert would undo this cursed wood.
And the birchwood beast, which had once been a cursed stick about the length of a large pizza, started to change yet again. Into
a slightly larger lion, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it does appear to be bigger. Not much, though.
Render can talk now, rather than just putting out the odd syllable here and there.
Oh, wonderful. Now you can solve the mystery.
No, I wanted to solve the mystery.
The stampede of lions was making another pass, chasing all the stuffed animals, which resembled every character you've ever met in What If World. Except now, the lions were even bigger.
See, everyone? This is what Mr. Eric does. He just keeps making bigger problems. But you all can start solving your problems by just taking control. Verilise!
Yes?
Your magic's usually more reliable than Abacus's, so can't you just turn yourself back?
Yes. Strange why I didn't think of that.
And Gavunkle!
Yes?
You're a near-omnipotent squidipus. From beyond the universe, yes. So couldn't you probably turn all of these people back to normal?
Oh, yes.
but I was enjoying being a stuffed animal, getting batted around by these lions.
Yeah, we were all playing together.
What?
Are you telling me you've never wanted to cuddle with a pride of lions?
Not if they were stampeding.
Well, how else are they gonna wear themselves out first?
So we can get a cuddle later.
And you're all sure that this isn't Mr. Eric Mind Control?
Oh, no. He's got his hands full answering four what-if questions. This story is about as off the cuff as it gets.
Then the Chomp of 25 wasn't the lion apocalypse.
No, but the lions do have the power to turn us into stuffed animals.
Yeah, and I gotta say, Stevie Fleasel isn't really into the close cuddles. If someone could just turn me back, that'd be swell.
And me.
Yeah, I think I'm done with this game.
Don't you dare turn me back. These lions are definitely getting sleepy.
It's almost cuddle time.
So the mystery was...
Totally my bad, Alabaster.
And a puppet that looked like the top half of Fred the Dog dragged itself over.
Yeah, I opened up Freddy's Stick and Slice, but I could only afford the cursed animatronic and the cursed sticks. Man, the cursed location. That makes cursed castles.
Why would you buy so much cursed stuff?
People were just giving it away for free on Curse List.
Oh, yes. I've started many a mini-pocalypse after going on Curse List.
Good uncle. Fred, stop solving this mystery for me.
Alabaster, you came here to help us. And some of us did not want to be stuffed animals.
Yay, so you honestly helped me quite a bit. Me being Stevie Fleasel.
Separately from me, Lola Rabbit, who wishes to remain a stuffed rabbit until I get my lion cuddles.
And me, Stevie Fleasel, whose voice is similar but distinct, says that you gotta do you, Lola Rabbit.
And I says thanks to that.
And the great big lions who were once sticks, but were now even bigger, shaggier lions who could also talk, started getting awfully sleepy, cuddling up with the Birchwood Beast and all the What If World characters who wished to join the cuddle, whether as stuffed animals or not.
But my apartment building's still a big spooky castle.
Is that a problem, Alabaster? I'm sure we could undo the curse.
Well, actually, I kinda like it. Cacula will sure come to visit more often.
I'm already renting out the belfry.
That tracks. Then there's just one thing left to do.
Shut down the ominously named Freddy's Slice and Steak Pizzeria
so the Chomp of 25 doesn't somehow come back for a sort of spooky Halloween sequel or something.
But as Fred the Dog, Alabaster Zero, and too many other What If World characters to name headed out of the castle, only a cold wind blew and the vacant lot where once stood Freddy's Stick and Slice.
Stick to the classics, or just stick to the sticks, said Papa Lou. Sorry, my contract says I have to say it at least 3 times this episode.
The end.
Oh wait, I'm not gonna get my bonus!
Stick to the classics or just a
Zion, Eli, Amanda, and Elijah, I wanna thank you all for your questions. And I hope everyone out there enjoyed your story. Have you ever said no to help when you actually kinda needed it? It's a tough balance between challenging ourselves and knowing when we really need help. I like the try three then me rule, where I give something my best, earnest effort, trying it at least 3 different ways before asking for help from someone else. And yes, even as a grown-up, this is my philosophy. So think of a time when you face something difficult. Could you have done it if you tried a couple more times? Did you say no to help when you really needed it? Could this moment in your life be turned on its ear creatively and made into a what-if question? If so, get your grown-up's permission and email your ideas to hello@whatifworldpodcast.com. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that sometimes it's more fun to solve a mystery with a friend. And until we meet again,
this story has been brought to you by Freddy Stick and Slice.
Keep wondering.
Stick to the classics or just stick to the sticks.
Pablo, get out of here.